Peace be with you. Friends, one of the most basic themes in the Bible is that all is grace. We and the whole cosmos were created as a sheerly generous act of God's love. Look, God has no need of the world. The world adds nothing to God's greatness. God would be God without the world. Yet he creates, not out of need, but out of sheer generosity. The Lord said, as the sun shines on the good and bad alike, you know, so God's love shines. That's just what God does. He gives himself away. Now, more to it, creation is an ongoing act. Not something that happened just a long time ago that stopped, but we are right now being created. Creation's happening this moment. Thomas Aquinas says that if just for one moment God withdrew his sustaining power, we would cease to exist. As the air is lit up only as long as the sun shines in it, Aquinas says, so we exist only as long as God sustains us in being. Right now, your very existence, your bodiliness, your mind, your action, your powers, every breath you draw, all of it right now is coming forth as a sheer gift from God. I think I've shared with you before Thomas Merton's famous definition of prayer. Prayer, he said, is finding that place in you where you are right now being created by God. At the end of Georges Bernanos' great novel, The Diary of a Country Priest, we hear that great line, Tout est grâce. Everything is grace. Everything's grace. It's a gift. Our being is a received being. That's the line I'd like to leave with you today from this homily. Our being is a received being. It comes from another as a gift. All of this, of course, is at odds with what the modern world takes as basic, namely autonomy, self-sufficiency, self-reliance. I'm in charge of my own life. The biblical vision is completely at odds with that. Your life is given to you. Listen to St. Paul now in the second reading for today. Paul says, none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Those are very simple words and deeply challenging words. Your life is not about you. Your life, my life, it's not about us. Rather, our lives come from another, and they are for another, namely for God. I've said before that you're part of God's theodrama. God's writing a drama. His purposes are being worked out, and your job is to find your role in it. Not to find you for your own sake, your goals, your needs, but no, God's goals, God's needs, because you're part of his drama. Now, what does all this imply? Well, that we are owed precisely nothing. We have nothing coming to us. Every fiber of our being is a gift. Or switch it around, what do we owe to God? Well, everything. For what should we be grateful? Precisely everything. That's why Paul says, dedicate yourself to thankfulness. That's a great line. In many ways, sums up the Christian life. Dedicate yourself to thankfulness. What's your life about? It's rendering thanks to God for the gift he gives you every moment. That's why, you know, as Catholics, we return to the Mass over and over again. Perhaps for some, day in, day out. Others, week in, week out. You might wonder, why do you keep saying this prayer over and over again? Well, the Mass is the Eucharist. Eucharistia, which just means thanksgiving. It's an act of gratitude. And how often should we say thanks to God? With every breath, at every moment. Our whole life should become an act of gratitude. Now, there's more. Not only, Christians, do we owe our existence to God, all our powers, our being, every fiber of our existence, we also owe our redemption to God. Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then he reminds us, there's no one righteous. No, not one. Sin is universal. We've all sinned. We're all in the trap of sin. More to the point, we can't get ourselves out of it. That's a basic truth of Christian revelation. We're sinners and we can't save ourselves. In fact, the more we try to save ourselves, the deeper in the mess we get. What's God done? God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that all those who believe in him might have life in his name. The Father sent the Son into God-forsakenness to gather us back into his life. When we could not save ourselves, we were saved by the heartbroken love of God. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of forgiveness at the heart of the Christian gospel. Did we deserve it? No. Did we merit it? No. It came to us, listen now, like our existence itself. Redemption came to us as a sheer gift, as a gratia, as a grace. Therefore, if we're holy because of God. Again, we receive our spiritual life from another. It's not ours that we cling to, claim as our own. Rather, it comes to us as a grace, as a gift. Friends, I'm suggesting that our readings today are telling us to let these great truths sink into us, that they might become the foundation of our lives. We got to be shaped by them. Now, what does this life look like when we accept the fact that our lives are received, that all is grace, everything's a gift, our lives are not about us? What does that look like? How should we live in response to it? Let me quote again from the scripture. What you've received as a gift, give as a gift. What you've received as a gift, give as a gift. What have you received? Everything. Therefore, what do you give? Everything. What's the proper response to grace? A graceful and grateful and grace-filled life. There's the message today from the readings. The response to grace is now you live in a graceful way. How? By giving away what God has given to you. Becoming a conduit of God's grace. As Francis said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Let me be a conduit of your grace, that it might flow through me. Great saints are those who, like God, give their being away. Do you ever notice that when you're with someone who's really holy, someone who's really close to God, that you feel more alive in their presence? You feel holier when you're around them. That's because they're in the business of giving themselves away. And why, conversely, in the presence of people who aren't very holy, we feel diminished. When you're around someone who's not generous, someone who's not kind, someone who's self-absorbed, you feel less holy. You feel less alive. That's not surprising, because they're in the business of hanging on to their lives. Now, all this, friends, is a preparation, really, for the parable that's at the heart of our gospel today. Jesus tells that very challenging story about forgiveness. Remember, there's the manager of the man's household. And he owes his master an enormous amount. And the master calls him in. And the man begs, please, please. And the master writes off the debt. But then, just a short while later, someone who owes that man far less than he himself owed comes to him and in a similar way begs for mercy. But this time he says no. What's the implication? We must live as an icon of the one who forgave us. Our lives are a gift, grace. We exist. We are holy because of another. Therefore, in our dealings with those around us, we must become as generous, as forgiving, as loving as God. Look, I know how hard this is. Most of us find forgiving one of the hardest things to do. When it comes to being offended, oh, we have very good memories. You know, we could forget all kinds of details, but when it comes to someone who's hurt us in some ways, insulted us, we pick every nit. We remember every offense. Nothing escapes us. Do you ever watch little kids? Little kids naturally have a very acute sense of justice, of what's right and wrong, what's owed to them. If they've been forgotten, overlooked, offended, they remember and they demand justice. Therefore, forgiving is a very difficult thing. It means, to some degree, setting aside this concern for getting what's coming to me. In fact, forgiveness is so hard that forgiving even once or twice strikes us as rather heroic. And so in the gospel, Peter says to the Lord, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? Seven? Which seems heroic, beyond heroic? That many times? Seven? And of course, the Lord's famous response, no, I assure you, not seven times, but 70 times, seven times. You know, of course, in Jesus' time, seven was a number of perfection. It meant wholeness, completion. So when Jesus says, forgive 70 times, seven times, what he means is your whole life must be an act of forgiveness. Forgiveness ought not to be some heroic thing you do once or twice in your life and then pat yourself on the back for. Rather, it must be the basic and steady form of your life. What you've received as a gift, forgiveness, you give as a gift. Listen now, how often do you receive it? Constantly. Therefore, how often do you give it? Constantly. Here's the spiritual heart of the matter. Whatever anyone owes you in strict justice, I mean someone's hurt you, offended you, they owe you something in strict justice. Whatever that is infinitely less than what God has graciously given to you. The divine forgiveness is infinitely greater than any forgiveness you might be called upon to offer. Therefore, become an instrument of God's grace. That's what it's all about. Everything else in the Christian life is a commentary on that. God bless.